Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. And we're going to be talking about in this program, you know, more in the context of, you know, how is this thing coming to pass? Because right now, Fox News is reporting that the Department of Homeland Security is beefing up security in all of our federal buildings. Why? Because that is the outcome of trying to be politically correct and constitutional in regards to how we allow things to happen, you know, in our nation. So we'll be hearing that as well. And we're going to be talking about, according to Jeffrey Goldberg with The Atlantic, he's been writing down the list of names that our President's White House has been calling the Prime Minister of Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And I'm just shocked, you know. I mean, the fruit of that, you see, like, there's no respect for Israel. There's no biblical perspective of Israel. And you just see them just being poked at and poked at and threatened and things that we've talked about before. Secretary of State going on. You see both Secretary of State, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, when she went into Morsi to discuss Gaza, who was being funded by, you know, Iran and the Muslim Brotherhood's militant arm, Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, all these different variations of just the radical Islamic situation. And for the purpose of a Levant, you know, and a caliphate. And as she said in our previous program, Rael, she said that the ultimate goal is to take over the West and the world. So it's, she goes, no, in no way do I agree with that. And she is a Muslim. Yeah. And she says there needs to be reformation in that movement. Either way, I am just shocked and think about holistically, you know, when it's that sometimes we just forget everything we know to this point, and we hear the latest thing that's going on, and that's all we talk about. And that's where these Alinsky methodologies and rules for radicals and those guys who know how to use systems and methods to move a mass amount of people in a direction they want to go. They just focus on the most recent thing instead of thinking, you know what, how did we get here? And how do we stay here? Or how do we turn back from here? And we have an entire series on, you know, children of the night, organizers of the night versus organizers of the day. This is a rhema word the Lord had given over this thing called Rules for Radicals and Saul Alinsky, and that's there available for you on the VFN Torch. If you learn this, you'll realize this is all that's going on. And part of the 13 rules is ridicule. You have to ridicule your opponent. You have to isolate them, polarize everybody against the situation, and you have to begin to ridicule them. So when you see the local bully ridiculing someone in a school, and the devil's got a hold of him, you know, and he's trying to bring division, and all of a sudden the whole classroom's divided. Next thing you know, he's got a roll of duct tape in his hand, a tricycle, French doors. You don't know what the future's going to hold.
Kids are running down Second Street.
Yeah, duct tapes can be used for, anyway, no, we're just talking about Second Street. But seriously, so then, and so what you're seeing, according to Jeffrey Goldberg, on October 28th, in his article, he writes that the president, he's keeping a red-hot list of all the names that they've called the prime minister of Israel. And just the last name they just called him is chicken, and I can't tell you the last part of that, but chicken poop. You can't do that to Israel. You can't poke your finger. You cannot ridicule Israel and think that you're not going to suffer deeply because of that. This is the leader of our country. This is our country. This is the White House. I don't think it was our president doing it. It's this White House they're reporting. But they have name after name that they've been calling him. But finally, it's like trying to provoke you. And that's what this whole thing is. And we talked about, it's called Don't Swing. And it's important, and we can learn a lot from Dr. King, who I believe was an apostle, and he was able to stay faithful to the Constitution and faithful to God you know, in view of his mercy, and lead us back to the original tent God had for this nation. Mm-hmm. And he didn't swing. He just didn't swing, but he was so powerful that today, even at 30 years old, I believe, but he was 30 years old when he had, when the enemy had taken him, the assassination. And we have to learn from that and understand that's what that's they want Israel to do, is they want Israel to swing, because you got all these radicalized Arab Spring nations now. You have, you know, you have a, what is that drug that they, meth lab, you know, you got, you have a meth lab in Iran, you know, it's not a meth lab, but it's a nuclear lab, and they're cooking up meth that's going to, you know, spiritually speaking, they got a nuclear, and they're just moving forward with their nuclear, no longer is that even part of the conference. They changed the narrative, as you do in those kind of tactics, to, you know, it's Gaza firing into, to Israel. And, you know, so you had the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, in Gaza, firing missiles continually. You think, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, if Israel could just wipe you off the face of the earth. And it's like, they wanted to change the narrative, so you're no longer thinking about the meth lab in Iran.
Right.
And the only word that has yet to come to pass of the 33 words, I believe it was, and you could hear them on the VFN Torch from Jim Baker, was nuclear material was found in Israel. Nuclear material was found there. Some of the words from John Paul Jackson is that he gave over the perfect storm, and you can find those also on the VFN Torch, was, you know, Israel's going to do respond so hard and so powerfully, the question that people are going to ask, do they have anything left? God, yeah, they do. You heard about, you know, 7 months to bury the bodies, 7 years to burn the weapons. You heard about that, you know, I believe Psalms 33 is coming into focus and all these different things. But the biggest thing is going on. Our president said some time back, and we talked about this, and you can see this in the VFN Torch related link, hopefully, that that Israel needs to go back to the 1967 borders. And that's just undefensible. It's undefensible. Matter of fact, we have for you in just a moment, we're going to show you a schematic, a graphic video to be able to explain these things, and talking about the valleys, the Jordan Valley, talking about how high the mountains are and why you have to have the airspace over the Western Bank, and pay attention to each of these things. They're saying we have to have these things. If we don't have security over those things and control over those things, then this is what's going to happen to us. But first, we're seeing, while this is going on in Canada, we talked about an earlier program where they're being attacked by the radical Islam's happening there. They're standing up against it. We are preparing as we speak. As a matter of fact, take a look right now. This is Fox News reporting that we're having to beef up our security because at federal buildings, because we are setting up and protecting ourselves for the same thing expected to happen. Listen up. Watch.
It's old news. And now here we are. That was less than a week ago. And now here we are raising the threat level. Your thoughts?
Well, Megan, look, I mean, there is a sequence of events here that makes this all make a certain kind of sense. I mean, we had the attack at the Canadian Parliament last week in which a soldier was killed. And then subsequent to that, or at least in the same chain of events with that, is we have this attack on the two police officers standing on the street. Terrorist organizations consider election times good opportune times to do something big. You could argue here, Megan, that this is all, you know, a little late, but it doesn't really seem inappropriate to, you know, raise the alarm, or raise the alert, I should say, at government buildings. The general alert is not being raised, apparently. It's just at government buildings. So, I mean, you could argue this is a half measure, that they should be a more general raising of the alert after all these events are kind of frightening. So, yeah, there's, I mean, look, I think we all of us who have watched this whole administration response to terrorism in general have, or many of us have concluded that the administration has been loath to respond very much to these things for fear of interfering with their kind of favored narrative, which is that, you know, Al-Qaeda is on the run and that the tide of war is receding and all of the rest of that. And of course, when these things happen, they fight that. And if the administration then responds to them, I guess they feel that that further fights their narrative. But I mean, I don't see any reason to criticize this on its face, unless you want to make the argument that they should have done it, you know, 3 or 4 days earlier.
Well, that's, I mean, what I'm asking is about Ed's point, which is the senior official who's saying this is a CYA. Because
well,
what we've
look,
seen, but let me just outline it for you. Because what we've seen, as he laid out, is the Defense Department saying this is ICE is a threat. It's an immediate threat, and the White House saying no. And then we get the FBI bulletin saying they're after us. They're going to go after law enforcement. And Josh Earner saying they're a general threat. It's a general issue. Not to worry. Then we start to see executions, and now suddenly it's. Oh, maybe we ought to raise the threat level.
Well, there's also apparently an increase in the chatter, which always makes officials nervous. Look, CYA means cover your backside. Well, imagine now if no alert were issued here, right? No alert of any kind, and something happened at or near a U.S. government building. The administration would be upbraided for failing to do something just like this. So, I mean, yeah, they may be covering their butts, and in some ways, sometimes that's what you ought to do. I mean, I can see how people would criticize them for being too slow, but I don't see a problem with this measure specifically.
Well, I don't think that's what the criticism is that about the measure. It's a question of the timing and whether this is an admission that has come a little late in the process, given the warnings we heard from Chuck Hagel, from General Dempsey, from ISIS itself, as administered through the FBI bulletin.
Well, that's what I say. You could argue that it's too late, or that it's a half measure, but no, that's a point of view that I think a lot of people hold. That the administration has been slow on these things, and arguably slow on this one as well.
Rick, good to see you.
Thanks.
So you're looking at so the threat level's being raised. We just saw, by the way, Canada touches America. So we have our southern border with Mexico, and what's happening with Texas is pouring in. Mm-hmm. We have the radicalization of the heartland that we talked about already. We have the radicalization of taking place in Canada that was just spoken about in our previous program. We have the threat level rising and our government buildings being protected. Notice they're coming after authority. And we get back from the break. We'll talk about this. Understand, in the beginning, one of the parts of the beginning of this thing was when Israel was told to go back to its 1967 borders. By doing that, according to Chuck Pierce out of Corinth, Texas, Zion Ministries said that America now will have to go back to the 60s. Mm. We will go back to the 60s. And it's interesting, 67, 68, and 69. Go back to the 1967 borders. That's what the president was saying early on, that Israel needed to go back to. So we have to, you know, what does that mean? I mean, you know, we're Americans. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. The border? Is that like you get a burger from the
What's
borders?
That?
Is that something happens? Is that the Texas border? Well, there's amazing, so many things to be able to understand here. And the 67 borders were the border lines, northeast, southwest border lines of Israel in 1967. And they were attacked in 1967 because these are undefensible borders. So when somebody tells you, you know, you've got to put your gun down, you've got to get rid of your bulletproof vest and stand in the presence of all these guns, you'll say something like, that's an undefensible position. I'm going to be dead. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So when somebody tells Israel, the apple of God's eye, about the land of God, the ultimate judgment that's going to come to all nations, you know, what are you going to do with the land of Israel? That, you have to give up more land and change your border back to the 1967. Well, understand the reason why it's bigger than the 1967 borders was because they got attacked. And so what they did, they literally took over mostly their original, what truly is their land. And then they gave it back. They gave it back to a certain area that they knew that was defensible. One is the Jordan. When you hear about the Jordan River, it's like 1,000 feet up. And if you go down, your tanks would have to go down and come over 1,000 feet to come up. The mountains are like thousands. It's brilliant. I mean, God, just it's. But he's going to talk about the Jordan, how difficult it is, that why that is the eastern border. They're going to talk about the mountains, why those are the border. And they're going to talk about why they have to have air power over the West Bank. So watch this. It's just 5 minutes, but this will give you some insight when you're hearing people talk about the 1967 borders. And this article with The Atlantic, given by Jeffrey Goldberg on October 28th, talks exactly about this. The one that they called the prime minister chicken poop. And it is just crazy what's going on right there. It is Zelensky 101, but they're trying to organize Israel, and it just don't, you can't do that. Watch this now. Learn about watch the Jordan, watch the mountains, and watch the air over the West Bank.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
That is so explanatory. And this is available for you right here on VFN TV. And it's, you know, we're making this and having this discussion because of our partners and because of our sponsors who stand with us. We have to stand with Israel. And our president is saying they need to go back to the 67 lines. What does that mean? Look what it means. It means we want to destroy you. We want to push Israel. It will be interpreted this way. We want to push Israel into the sea. That's the that's the chant of radical Islam and Islam. And they want a caliphate. Part of the caliphate means the Quran is the law, and everything's ran under that, and have Sharia law, which is doing away with every nation that doesn't do that. And that's just not going to happen. God's going to stand for Israel, but understand our country's saying that to them. One of the strongest nations in the world. And some of that article from The Atlantic written by Jeffrey Goldberg, remember this, 1967, Chuck Pierce prophesies out of Corinth, Texas, Zion Ministries, that because he made that public declaration, we will go back to the 60s. We will go back ourselves. And it's interesting what happened in 1967, because he said, you go back to the 67, then we go back to 67. We'll be talking in the future about these people who voted in Florida. They voted that they want to split Florida. Well, it may never physically split, but the day that they voted to do that is the day it did split spiritually. And it gave almost, I would say, a glory zone, which God's been speaking to us about, of people who are standing up for the Lord.
Right.
And the original tenet of the nation. Goldberg in The Atlantic, he's talking in this article, and he's writing, in addition to saying that our president's White House is calling names, calling the prime minister terrible names. One of them is chicken poop, you know, and that's not what the word is. But understand, that's part of ridicule and the Alinsky tactics, which he taught for 4 years, reportedly. And worked for, he was mentored in some way by Saul Alinsky. But he writes in his article that the Obama administration's anger is red hot over Israel's settlement policies, and that Netanyahu's government openly expresses contempt for Obama's understanding of the Middle East. Profound changes in relationship may be coming. So he's saying, you know, how we're somewhat standing up for Israel right now. And he's writing his article that, like, hey, there's going to be a shift. And then he goes on to say, he says, the other day, I was talking to a senior Obama administration official about the foreign leaders who seem to be frustrated with the White House and the State Department the most. The thing about Bibi is he is chicken poop. Bibi is the nickname for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This is what this says. This particular White House State Department said the thing about Bibi is he's chicken poop. This official said, referring to Israel's prime minister by his nickname, over the years, Obama's administration officials have described Netanyahu by to him, he says, with, and he gives this whole long list of negative names, you know, pompous, blustering, obtuse, I mean, myopic. I mean, just, they're ridiculing. And this is part of the Alinsky tactic. But you have to understand, this is not your father's Oldsmobile you're organizing here. This is Israel, the apple of God's eye. And it's not good. You can't do that. And America's leaders are doing that. So no matter how strong we are, understand that God can I mean, he is humbling us, but he can seriously give us an adjustment. And I believe, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, he sees, based on what he's hearing from the Lord and seeing, that 2015 is going to be a year of great turmoil. And so he says that, our president says that you need to go back to the 1967 lines. And so we talked about what that means. But Chuck Pierce said that means we're going to go back to the 1960s. Well, look at 1967 alone. We were in the middle of Vietnam War. We're already got our feet in another country, just like it was with Vietnam. They would say over and over again, we talked about this in the pink room and how that all happened. You can hear about Vietnam. But they would say, no boots on the ground. We're not going to put any boots on the ground. We're having the same conversations. But this ended up with hundreds of thousands of people dying. Two-thirds of Americans going to war reportedly were drafted. They didn't choose to go. They were like, you're going to war. You know, within 8 weeks, you're in the jungles of Vietnam. And this happened during a great rebellious time in America when all of a sudden the 60s was going on. And so we're going to go back to the 60s. What happened in the 60s? Well, we had an assassination of President John F. Kennedy. We had an assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had an assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. Robert Kennedy was running for president. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Martin Luther King and Senator Robert Kennedy, within 4 months of each other, were assassinated. We had the marriage was being turned upside down. We had the groundwork for abortion and Roe versus Wade being laid. Mm-hmm. We had everything was in uproar. The pill was out now since the 50s, late 50s, and so it came into the 60s, and you had the sexual revolution where, you know, sex no longer produces children, so you can have as much as you want. Then it did produce children, so then they said we got to find some way to end the consequences of sex. They called it a consequences. Our president even said, I wouldn't want my daughter to have an unwanted pregnancy. Talked about it in a way that it would be a negative thing to be having a child early on in his administration. And so abortion became the mm-hmm. answer to that. In other words, how can we sin and still continue to have the lust of our flesh? And so what happened in the 60s? Well, 1967, just if we just go to the 1967, what is yet to happen in 67, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is still with us. Robert Kennedy's still with us. We're in the middle of the Vietnam War. In other words, we're in a foreign land in war. Boots now are on the ground. We are recruiting, we are drafting people to go into the war. And I'm telling you, you can ask those around me, you can ask my own children. I said, listen, if these things don't turn, you're potentially going to see a draft, and you're going to see your feet in the ground in the Middle East. Because you have to understand, it's not something we plan to do. It's consequences of what happens to us because of our rebellion against God. Right. You can't say, well, we'll never do that. And God says, if you mm-hmm. want quail, I'll give it to you. It's coming out your nose.
That's right.
You know, I just want this much quail. And it's like, no, I'm going to give you this much quail. Mm-hmm. We remember because Israel wanted quail when they were in the wilderness. But in 1967, over 11,153 Americans were killed in Vietnam. In 1967, in 1968, 16,589 Americans were killed. So just those 2 years alone, you're looking at like 37,000 Americans were killed. What did we just hear in an earlier program from this Muslim lady who's saying, we got to take a stand and we're going to wait for 30,000 people to be killed before we take the kind of stand we have to be able to protect Canada, she was talking about? And she says, that's what's going to happen. And so going back to 1967 or 1960s, the 67 alone, we're looking at these things that took place, what laid the groundwork for what we have 55, 56 million abortions that mm-hmm. happened in America since then. Prior to that, it was illegal. So what are we going to open the doors to when our president says, you know, we need to go back to the 1967 lines? And so we've been talking about this, and we're kind of bringing it together because the last part of Goldberg's article in The Atlantic, he writes this, and he's talking about after the elections coming up in a couple of days, next week. He says, based on what he's heard them talk about Israel and their plans and their anger, red-hot anger with Israel, he says, it would also be unsurprising post-November to see the Obama administration take a step Netanyahu is loathing to take place, a public full laydown of the administration's vision for the two-state solution, including the maps saying that Israel's borders are this, presently accepting it. These borders to Netanyahu are horror borders, 1967. It would be based on the 1967 lines, with a significant West Bank settlement block attached to Israel in exchange for swapping land elsewhere. Such a laydown would be an explicit to Israel and be something that the U.S. probably would expect. In other words, here it is. This is what we've been talking about. This is articles written October 28th. He's saying, after these elections, are you wondering why gas is 25 cents a gallon? You know, I'm kind of exaggerating. Are you wondering why? Because you just pick up the phone and call, you know, ISIL. You know, the caliphate, the spring is like, hey guys, turn the price down for a little bit. That's what, you know, that's where the oil's coming from. You've got oil coming from America. They're talking about American oil, but they tried to kill that. You just call, I mean, it's, hey, this is the Muslim Brotherhood. Hey, chat with some of the guys over there and just let them, have to be the guys, by the way, because they're not going to let the women be in a place of leadership over there.
Right.
And it lowers down. I mean, this is huge to have that kind of gas prices. And understand, when he first came into office, the president said gas prices are going to rise. And guess what? They were higher than they've ever been in years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know what happened. But something happened. If all of a sudden it's dropping down to $2.75 a gallon, all of a sudden, I mean, they're waiting and doing everything they can do to get as much as they can get before what they're about to do after these elections coming up. And this, I have to tell you, I truly don't believe that, you know, we get this great Congress who's for, you know, and it could, I mean, things could turn. But the hope is not in a man. The hope is in all of us getting right before God and saying, God, we've sinned. We've done what's wrong. Because what's based on what we're seeing, you know, America's going to make it through this, but it's going to be a different America. It's going to be a rough time coming around 2015, potentially right after this election. And we already see the position of our president in the White House towards Israel in the face of God, you know, and... You know, those who bless Israel, I'll bless, but those who curse Israel, I will curse. There is no other stipulation to that. All these presidents in the past that you hear a lot of Christians support, you know, and there have been some good presidents, but they've made some serious mistakes towards Israel. And as soon as they did that, when these five hurricanes hit Florida, that was about the same time that George W. Bush, I believe, President George W. Bush, was making some sort of two-plan solution with Condoleezza Rice. When his father was doing something, the same situation, they had, you know, Kenny Bunkport, Maine, his mansion got hit and got destroyed. This is way worse than that. I mean, we've done some serious, we've organized the Middle East. As a matter of fact, our president said, the Middle East needs to be organized. Their world needs, we need to organize them. And that's his technique. He knows how to do that. And when you see Hillary Clinton involved in that, understand they both are mentored. They were mentored by Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. They understand. She wrote her graduate paper on Rules for Radicals, on Saul Alinsky's methods of doing things. Not the book Rules for Radicals. She wrote it strictly on, you know, organizing in Saul Alinsky's way. And we have a personal letter. We're just cutting. It got so much going on. It's the only reason we haven't brought it up yet and put it on the torch or made it available to you. But, you know, she writes a personal letter to Saul Alinsky saying, you know, has the revelation happened? You know, that I'd like to get together and argue with you and talk back and forth. And this is our present leader today and our potential leader tomorrow, unless we repent, are children, spiritual children, I guess you would, or mentored children of Saul Alinsky. And it's like, dear Lord, you know, forgive us, help us. And I really believe that the church is going to awake. We're going to begin to follow the Lord. The kingdom of God is going to begin to be in the men's hearts of men. And it's going to be a good thing, but it's going to be a rough time. So when you hear things, and you might not even hear the words 1967 lines anymore, now you understand that that means the Six-Day War that Israel had to have to be able to defend herself. The landmass that she actually acquired during that is bigger than she actually needed. She gave a lot of that land, most of it back, and all she kept was that slither of land with the Jordan Valley, the mountain range. I mean, 60, 70% of the population is on the other side of that mountain range, 80% of all their industry and their businesses over there, and it's just undefensible. And it's right now it's 44 miles at its waistline. And to go back, what they're talking about, potentially it's only 9 miles wide at the waistline.
That's crazy.
It's amazing now that they're able to defend this thing. But I mean, you can see why these defensible borders and the United Nations, remember, you saw it. It was highlighted that you have a right to defend yourself and to have defensible borders. And that's all they're doing. And when people are coming in saying, we want that land, they're saying, we want to violate the United Nations agreement that said that you need defensible borders. But outside of all that, you know, don't mess with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a small state. It's the apple of God's eye. And if you look at it truly, it's a lot bigger than it really is. And they're even asking for it right now. And there's a coming land grab, as Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, we had on one of his segments talking about that. That's coming. It's coming into focus for all of a sudden from the rivers, you know, to the oceans. It's going to be back, you know, in the coming land grab. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Yeah.